May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm going to read a few passages from the Gospel of Luke. There's a consistent theme. This is Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 40. While the sun was setting, all who had any sick with various diseases brought them to him, and laying his hands on every one of them, he was healing them. And demons also were coming out of many, crying out, saying, "You are the Son of God." And rebuking them, he would not allow them to speak, because they knew him to be the Christ. And when day came, he departed and went to a lonely place. And the multitudes were searching for him, and came to him and tried to keep him from going away from them. And he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Between Jesus doing all the ministry, and then Jesus telling them when they found him that he had to go and preach to the other cities, he says this, and he says, "And when day came, he departed and went to a lonely place." This is verse 16 of chapter 5. But he himself, and the language here is he himself just was continually slipping away to the wilderness to pray. Chapter 6, verse 12. And it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God, and when day came, he called the disciples to him and chose the 12, whom he also named apostles. Chapter 9, verse 18. And it came about that while he was praying alone, the disciples were with him. And he questioned them, saying, "Who do the multitudes say that I am?" Chapter 9, verse 28. And some 8 days after these sayings, it came about that he took along Peter and John and James, and went up to the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, his face became different. His clothing became white and gleaming. Chapter 11, verse 1. And it came about that while he was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And then one more. In chapter 21, verse 37. He told the disciples, "But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." And how during the day he was teaching in the temple, but at evening he would go out and spend the night on the mount that is called Olivet, which was his favorite place to go and pray. I wanted to share all that in light of the gospel reading that Bracken read. There's a difference between intimacy and familiarity. And, you know, the old saying, familiarity can breed contempt. What it can breed is just indifference. But intimacy breeds passion. And those were all people that were familiar with Jesus, his hometown. They were familiar with Jesus. They were too familiar, but not intimate with him. And even though Jesus walked out his union with the Father, he was in the Father was in him. You see, I believe that we've talked about this a lot over the years, that Christ was the author and the perfecter of faith, and that even though he was the Son of God, 100% God, he lived on earth as man, the Son of Man. He was the author and the perfecter of faith. God doesn't live by faith. Jesus, though he was God, laid down his right to act as God independently. And everything he did as a spirit-filled man, as the second Adam, to show us how man was intended to live. It's one of the great principles of the gospel. And so I believe that Jesus, in that sense, because it's easy to think in terms of Christ, when Christ said things like, "I always do those things I see the Father doing, and I always say those things I hear the Father saying," we kind of think that because it was Jesus, that was sort of just automatic. like from the get-go, that was just, he was just wired that way because he was Jesus. No, he was in union with the Father, and Jesus started from scratch, just like us. Or it wouldn't be the same, his life of faith. We couldn't look at his life of faith and go, well, he wasn't just an example for us, he was an example of us, what a spirit-filled person should look like. Now, Jesus was tempted in every way, like us. Now, he never sinned, understand that. But he still had to cultivate intimacy with his Father as the Son of Man. As God, part of the triune God, he didn't need to do that. But why did he spend so much time in prayer? Constantly slipping away into the wilderness, getting alone. He's ministering, but in between ministering, he gets alone with the Lord. Before he names the disciples, the 12 apostles, he spends the night in prayer, cultivating intimacy and nurturing union. You can't get more in union, but you can nurture the union so it becomes more vivid in your own life, manifested more. And this is, I love this passage in John chapter 8. This is verse 26, Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. We read this, I think, yesterday. He was saying to them, you are from below and I'm from above. You are of this world, I'm not of this world. Then he goes on, he says, I was saying to you, they were saying, who are you and where do you come from? Who is your father? And Jesus said, I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true. And the things which I heard from him, these I speak to the world. They did not realize that he was speaking to them about the Father. And Jesus therefore said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. And I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak those things as the Father taught me. As God, he didn't need to be taught anything. But as the Son of Man, he was taught everything. So where did Jesus get taught? Where did he learn? Where did he nurture this union relationship with the Father so that it became easier and easier for him? He became so wired in that he always did the things, not sometimes, but always did what he saw the Father, always said what he heard the Father saying. In those places, that lonely place of prayer. And it's only lonely in that other people aren't there, but it's the most unlonely thing in the world because it's their intimacy is cultivated with God. That's where he was taught. Now, that's the encouraging thing to me because Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. He sent his disciples, his apostles out and said, now you go do this. You cast out spirits. You do this. You do this. You do this. And so Jesus expected them to model and manifest the same power and authority that he walked in. Christ-likeness is about holiness of life. It's about anointing, ministry. Doesn't mean you're called to full-time ministry, but we're all called to full-time ministry, of course, right? So when I see that and I look at the pattern, the life of Christ, here he is the example. He cultivated that. He was taught and cultivated that. He grew and nurtured this union relationship with his Father in prayer. And the cool thing about prayer, you don't have to have a Bible college degree or a seminary degree. Even the little child can pray. Even the most uneducated person, illiterate person can pray and be taught by the Lord. So everything Christ did out of his union with the Father were the consequences of a relationship of intimacy he cultivated in prayer. He went and did all these things, and then he would slip away and pray. And then go once again, go do these things, and then slip away and pray. And then go out and minister his stuff, and then slip away and pray. That's the pattern of his life. That's the pattern of our lives. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.